Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. And so that's very valuable to pour into a child in the ways of the Lord. I think of Lewis and Eunice, who is grandmother and mother of Timothy, as he was a man that was mightily used by God, someone who was brought up by Paul in the faith, and he was used just mightily. And then the Apostle John, he said in 3 John 1:4, and something that Gabe and I were talking about before service, and something that when I get Bibles for my boys and I put in there that very verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And I think that that is the heart of any mother who knows the Lord, who understands what it is to walk with the Lord, that it doesn't really matter what they do in life as long as they're walking with the Lord. Why? Because in the end, that has eternal value, right? So this morning, instead of continuing on in our series in the book of James, we're going to pause a little bit and just honor moms. And I want to just focus in on, godly motherhood and what it means. You know, we could have spent really all morning talking about moms that are pointed out to us in the Bible. But I'm going to select three women, three moms in the Bible. And then they have something that is common, a common thread that runs through each and every one of their lives. And even today, they're still having an impact in our lives. So the title of this morning's message is A Mother's Worth. I heard a story of a couple that had been married for a couple of years. And one day, the husband came through the door after a day's work and hugged his wife and kissed his wife. And, it's at that point that his wife kind of paused a little bit and said, "Honey, I have some big news for you." And he said, "Oh, what is that?" And she said, "Well, in a little while, it will no longer be just the two of us. There's going to be an addition to our family." And he excitedly said, "Oh, you have just made me the happiest man on earth." And she said, "Oh, great, I'm so happy to hear that, because a week from next, Mother's coming to live with us." Oh, the impact that mothers can make, right? Mother's Day is a special day. It's a day that is set apart to honor mothers. It's a special day for all to collectively lift one voice in unity of complete thankfulness to our mothers and celebrate them because they are important to us. Young kids make cards at school with crayons and craft paper, and they bring them home to mom. Flowers picked or ordered are delivered to moms. Presents are opened. Lunch and dinners are prepared and enjoyed together on this very day, all in honor of you, and all to serve as expressions of thankfulness for what you mean to us. A mother's worth goes far beyond words. You know, you think about, just put it into words what a mom means, and it really is impossible. Like, put it all together. How is it that we can repay you in one day what you have done and poured into and invested in for a lifetime? It really goes far beyond what we can express in words. You are designed by God to serve Him in a very special way, within the family, and like I said, within society in general and as a whole. You are honored to carry and deliver life and care for a child in a way really only you can. A mother is defined as, and I pulled this off of what we had posted on Facebook on our women's ministry page. And it says, mother is a verb. You're always in motion, aren't you? Always. There's never like a pause, really. Even though you take a deep breath, you're still a mom and you're still going at it. But here's the definition as it was laid out there. Bring up a child with care and affection. The art of mothering. Being a mother is a very important role the Lord chooses to give many women. It takes involvement, availability, teaching, discipline, nurture, modeling integrity. It's a gift from the Lord. And mothers, we are truly blessed to have you. We truly are. A mother's worth goes far beyond her own life. It truly resonates in the lives she raises and pours into, sacrifices for, and trains up. This morning again, we celebrate you. And as we do, we're going to go on this journey through various parts of the Bible that points us to mothers who are, like I said earlier, still making an impact in our lives today. Again, you can go back to several, like Lois and Eunice. They're still making an impact. As we read about them, they're still making an impact all these years later in our lives. These are women whose treasures have been stored up in heaven, and where their reward, although was short-lived here on earth, as they enjoyed that, as they saw what was going on and the impact that they made here on earth was short-lived. But more importantly, we need to understand that their reward is not necessarily just here on earth, but it's being stored up in heaven, where no one can take it away and where it will never diminish in value. In fact, it'll increase as it impacts your life and mine. Think about that for your life. It may be something that you see happening all around you as you see your kids growing up in the Lord. But rest assured that that will have an impact in lives that follow, in generations that come after yours. So let's begin our journey with a woman that not many people think of spending much time on talking about her, except to say that she was the first lady and always will be. She was the first woman. She was the one that God took from Adam's rib and presented her to Adam. So Eve, the first lady. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So this is Eve. This is the first lady. This is the mother of all living. This is creation at its pinnacle. As God created the heavens and the earth, as he created all that is living on the earth, he saw it all. But the pinnacle of his creation was mankind, was when he created man and woman in his image. And Eve has a special place. It was at that point when everything was perfect. Everything was glorifying to the Lord. There was a shameless oneness that man and woman were enjoying at the time. Eve was created by God, made in his image, made to be a helper to Adam, to conceive, bear, and raise children, to populate the earth. And that was her assignment. That was what they were to do. The one thing that we think about when we think about Eve is the one thing that really we hang on to, and we can't, I believe, we can't really go beyond. We don't go beyond how it is that she was deceived by Satan and gave of the forbidden fruit, of course, to Adam. We always think of her in that respect, don't we? You think of Adam and Eve. Adam, thank you for welcoming sin into the human race. And, that's always what we think of. So the question is, here it is, Mother's Day. Did her life have significance after that? This is what Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth about. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4. He wrote, and this is like as a father in the faith to the Corinthians. He said, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. It's like, so I might be a little foolish. This might be something that is overlooked oftentimes, but do bear with me, is what he said. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if, it's conditional, right? For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. And that's a rebuke. It's like, that's strong. You just mentioned Eve, like she was deceived, but you also can be deceived. And I want to take a moment to tell you that these words of Paul could be an indictment upon each and every one of us as well, moms included. Because I was thinking about this as I was even this morning and just preparing for, you know, this special message for moms. You know, that there's this fine line. It's like, moms, you are absolutely honored. But the most important thing that I could tell you is that you are to first honor God, that you may truly impact with all the worth that God has placed within you to honorably impact the lives around you to His glory. That's the most important thing that you can do. That's why it was Paul that was referring to Eve as she was deceived. That we too, hey, lest we too fall, right? Lest we also overlook and kind of look at it flippantly and just think of Eve as being the one that was deceived and took us all down that path. And we put ourselves off to the side and think that that's not us. We need to think about things. We need to think, no, wait a minute. We can also fail. Men, we can fail in our parenting and our fatherhood. Ladies, we can fail also, and we can stumble, we can trip up when it comes to your motherhood in your place. And so it's this place that I want to take you to of being humble. And if you're humble before God, you'll be humble before your husband, you'll be humble before your children, and you'll be humble before others around you. We don't all have it figured out, do we? And so I wanted to point that out because it's like, okay, let's take it there and then from there we can build. Can we do that? Let us think about this woman who God created. She was the first woman. She was the first wife. She was the first mother. Eve was the first mother that had a couple boys that experienced some issues between each other. That was Cain and Abel. So she was the first mother that experienced a son being murdered. She was also the first mother that experienced having still a child that was a murderer. He had blood on his hands. But she was also the mother, as we look forward, of Seth and of Enosh. And it was at that point that the Lord tells us that people first began to worship the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord, as it says in Genesis 4:26. So did she have any significance beyond the tripping up, the fall? Remember that it was at that point that they were removed from the Garden of Eden. They were removed. So did she quit at that time? The answer is no, absolutely not. God was still faithful. He could have at that time very well just, do over. Let's just start over here, right? He doesn't do that. He didn't do that with Eve, and he won't do that with you either. The point is that Eve did not stop when she failed and was cast out of the Garden of Eden along with Adam. She accepted the consequences of her failed actions, but also knew that God was faithful, loved her, and was with her wherever she was. That's something that we can never, ever forget. We shouldn't ever forget. It's like, who doesn't stumble? Who doesn't like just trip up a little bit? Who doesn't just fall flat on their face at times? But God is always there, just as Jesus was with Peter. When he took his eyes off of the Lord and he sunk. At one point he was walking on water though. And he sunk. And he said, Lord, save me. Just like that, the Lord is always with us. And when we say, Lord, save me, we cry out to him. He's always there. He's faithful. And he'll lift us up and bring us in and unto himself. An important lesson for any mom, or any person for that matter. If you fall, what do? We get up. Yeah, don't stay down. You know what it is when you fall into a pity party? It's not crying out before the Lord. It is not. What that is you're thinking about yourself. Oh, how bad I am and all that. And you wallow in your pity. That's what it means. You know, to stay down. You know what? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of what? What? You guys know the verse, right? The strength of a sound mind, right? We are to get up. Why? Because we know, as we see with Eve, she's the mother of all living. She got up. She continued. Did she have significance after the fall? Absolutely. God still used her in spite of the fact that she was the one that was deceived and gave the fruit to Adam. Adam openly knew and committed the sin. Eve was deceived. But you know what? She got up and she continued to move forward. God is with you and he desires that you fulfill your purpose in life as a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, a friend, a leader, a teacher, and the list can go on. You just keep on getting up. Breath and lungs equals still time today to honor the Lord, okay? To get up and keep on going. Next, we look at Sarah. Let's turn in our Bibles, still in Genesis, to Genesis chapter 12. Sarah was a woman that expressed this submitted faith, which is absolutely, if you really study her life, it's really this crazy humility that she expressed, both to her God and to her husband. It's amazing. Abraham and Sarah married when they were in Mesopotamia, or Ur of the Chaldeans. It was when Abraham was 75 and Sarah was about 65 to 66 years old that God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and travel to a land that he had promised to Abraham. Think about this. It's like, you know what, honey? God has called us out of this land, away from our family. Ladies, how are you with your families? How easily can you just pick up and move? It's not that easy, is it? It's like, oh, that's my family. You know, I can't leave. Can you imagine God calling your husband and saying, hey, you're going to leave. And you're going to leave, by the way, all your family behind. You're going to a place that I have called you to and I have promised for you. But you know what, Sarah? We don't hear her complaining. We don't hear her having a discussion with her husband or with God. She just simply followed her husband. Sarah followed her husband, even though also he didn't know exactly where he was going. I'm reminded so often of the story of Jim and June Hesterly. They've been here at the church and they've taught. And they've moved, I don't know how many, seriously, I think it's like in the like teens, like in their whole life, like upper teens. Like, can you imagine like close to 20 times moving? And it was every time that June was kind of like getting settled and like, okay, we're good, we're here. Like the house is done up the way I want it to be done. And then Jim, it's like, I heard from the Lord. And she's like, really? Where are we going? Well, we're going over here. Why? Not fully sure, but we're supposed to go over here. You know, but it's just, theirs is a story of amazing faith. It really is. But it reminds me of the story of Abraham and Sarah, you know, to where Sarah just, she submitted first of all to the Lord. And that's why, ladies, you can submit to the authority, not the increased in value, okay, the way the Lord has structured the family. That's all. That's all it is. He has made you a partner, a helper to the husband. He has brought you alongside him. But Sarah was amazing in so many different ways. So let's read in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, this story here. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So we're going to stop there. And so that, I just wanted to, like, I can say everything in the world and just kind of give you a brief outline of what Scripture tells us, but I wanted to give you exactly what we have in the Bible there. Because Sarah not only endured this, but she endured together collectively with her family famines. She witnessed family issues, hears of God's repeated promise to Abraham of a multitude of offspring that would come by her, and yet she continued to be unable to have children. Sarah is given off by her husband also twice, not once, but twice as his sister, and she was placed into the harem of first Pharaoh and then Abimelech. You know, it's like, and at the same time, both times, and this is a lesson also, like, for everyone. Sometimes, although we don't understand why it is that God tells us, hey, do this and don't do that, just be faithful. What you'll see in the end is how it is that God is faithful, God is trustworthy, and he brings about a conclusion that honors him and also blesses you. Sarah twice was given off as Abraham's sister. Instead of a husband standing beside his wife, the husband was thinking more of himself and thought, lest I be killed, you're gorgeous. You're a knockout, and I know that they're going to kill me to have you as their wife. So just, you know, I'm going to pass you off as my sister. And she agreed, and she went along with it. And then, just like all of us experience impatience, Sarah grew impatient, and she was barren. These are all things that she experienced. We don't see all the little things in between. We don't hear about all the little discussions in between, but you can just kind of fill in the blanks, you know. You know, as a couple, what it is that goes on in your own household. Sarah and Abraham were no different. But it was at this point that Sarah grew impatient and handed over her maidservant Hagar to her husband to serve as a surrogate mother to bear her a child, since she was still barren and didn't see how it would be possible to to have any children. She was past the age of having children. It's like physically, the Bible tells us, she was unable to. By all outward appearances, she was just not able to have children. But I need to remind you, it's not about Sarah. It's not about Abraham. It's about God. Because God did not abandon her either. Just like he didn't abandon Eve, he didn't abandon Sarah. Nor did he go back on his promise to Abraham. Even though Sarah struggled with her faith, listen, she still had some. There were still some there. Just a little bit, just enough. In fact, Hebrews 11:11-12 says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Sarah was also the mother of the son God commanded to be sacrificed. Think about this. Sarah went through all of this. I'm just giving you just a snapshot of Sarah. Like one day God came to Abraham and said, your son Isaac, the son of promise, I'm calling you to sacrifice. I could not imagine that coming down from the Lord. But Abraham, he obediently followed God's command and took his son up on a mountain and was willing to sacrifice because God had commanded him to do that. But it was at that point that God provided himself a sacrifice in his place. And it's a picture of Jesus Christ, how it is that God provided for himself a sacrifice. I don't imagine Abraham told Sarah, you know, we don't know though what he was commanded to do by God. And this is why I think this way. It's because in Hebrews 11:19, it is written, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back from the dead. And so you think about this. For Abraham, although he sorrowed in his heart, although he just couldn't even imagine, you know, how it was that you were going to do this. God, what are you? I don't know what the conversation was going in between God and Abraham going up the hill. And when his son said, hey, we have the wood, we have everything, but we don't have the sacrifice. Oh, you know, just what Abraham must have felt. But we see here that he knew that God was able to even raise his son from the dead if that's what was going to be necessary. So for all purposes, I mean, Abraham felt, hey, you know what? We're going up, but we are coming down. Sarah, you will not lose a child. I imagine that afterwards, though, she found out and she knew exactly what had taken place. And even then, the anguish that she must have felt. Sarah is an example of faith in God, even though she faltered. She had her faults. Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. Isaiah the prophet said, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Whenever you point to one, you point to both. A husband and wife shouldn't be able to be really recognized as two separate, although they are physically away from each other. They are one. And after a while, it's like you see one, you see the other. You can even finish each other's sentences, you know, and each other's thoughts. I know what you're thinking at this point. And they're one. Abraham and Sarah were both together an example worth looking to. And that's what God wrote there. Look to them. Abraham, your father. And Sarah, who bore you. It was from them that even though they were as dead physically, unable to have children, I came through with that promise. And so who do we glory in? Is it the instrument? No. It's in the one who held them in his hand. We glory in God. But think about it. Sarah waited 90 years to have her first child. She was 90 years old. Her limited understanding of how God would bring this about allowed her to experience what God can do and does. It allowed her to know that with God nothing is impossible, to know that He is not limited with anything. And even though sometimes it seems as if we are on an eternal holding pattern, there is hope in God and He is faithful. Are you in any kind of holding pattern right now that you can think of? Just know that God is faithful. That in God, in Christ, there's always hope. There's always hope. Genesis 21:1 says, "The Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as He had promised." 1 Peter 3:5 and 6 serves as an example for wives today of what God expects as His standard for a helpmate. "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." A woman that had gone through all of that could serve as an example, absolutely, worthy of looking to and saying, that was a woman who trusted the Lord and brought her children up in His ways. "Whom shall I fear? I know who stands before me. I know who stands behind." Right? "The God of angel armies is always by my side." That was the song, I imagine, that Sarah sung. She was fearless. This was a woman. It's like, you know what? I had my days. But after you see God working in this manner in your life, what could be against you? Who could stand in your way? Your faith grows. She may have had a little bit of faith before her son Isaac came. But I tell you, by the end of her life, this woman was as large as life when it came to trusting and having faith in God. Eve is the mother of all living, Sarah the mother of the promise. What they have in common is tenacity and a submitted faith. We also have mothers like Rebecca, the mother of Jacob, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the prophet, Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. But then we come to one woman, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the Savior of the world. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. Mary indeed conceived, although she knew not a man intimately, she conceived miraculously. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, as Mary had asked the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And then Mary's response to the angel, the messenger of God, of the good news of the Messiah, was this in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That was it. And the angel departed from her. But although Mary humbly submitted to the will of the Lord, she endured shame. She endured shame because it was at that point that she was betrothed to Joseph, but they weren't married. At that point, it was considered to be married, but not so much. They hadn't gone through the whole ceremony and all. And so it was at that point that if she was found with child, it would be like having a child out of wedlock. And she should have come to the marriage as a virgin. And so she endured shame. because people didn't understand how this could be. Even her husband, Joseph, at one point was considering how it was that he was going to divorce her or put her away. And he was a just man, and he wanted to put her away secretly until he too was visited by an angel and was told everything that had taken place and who it was that she was going to be with child with. Mary couldn't contain the joy she felt toward God. It wasn't, hey, I'm the vessel that God used to bring the Messiah. Look to me, honor me, all you little people, okay? You need to, like, look to me. I am the woman, you know, and I can brag about that. I am God's anointed, you know. So, no, she didn't do that, did she? Not at all. She could not contain the joy that she felt toward God and burst out with this. Let's look at Mary's song of praise in verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." She could not contain herself. It's like, oh, let's sing God's praise right now. I am just beside myself in just joy. I am overwhelmed. I am overtaken by, oh, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. You ever feel overjoyed by the Lord? You know, there's just times to where if you really just meditate on Him, on His Word, who He is, how much He loves you, what He's done for you, it's just like, it's just overwhelming. But even through it all, Mary looked beyond everything that she was and she did, and we know she experienced in life. But I think about also, water, you turned into wine, the song that we sung. That was the first miracle that Jesus performed. And it was Mary, his mother, that told the servants, hey, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It was like she knew who her son was, and she said that and just like walked away. I could just imagine the servants were like, okay. They went and got the water, brought it back. It was water when we got it. It's wine now. The Son of God. But Mary also endured unimaginable pain as she witnessed her son's trial, beating, and crucifixion. Mary is an example of humble faith, a person who is willing to be used by God at any personal cost and believed who Jesus was as the person God had announced him to be. It isn't our proclamation of who God is that makes him who he is. It's who God says he is. Period. Mary was a mother who never lost sight of Jesus, her son, nor Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we must never forget that she had other children who came to also believe in the Son of God. Sometimes we don't think about that. Perhaps it was partly because of their mother's faith in the Messiah and God the Father, who is perfectly faithful. All three women, Eve, Sarah, Mary, were women who carried on in the face of extreme difficulty. And they're still making a significant impact in each and every one of our lives today. How is it that you can impact your children and those around you today? You can have an eternal impact. Each and every one of you can have that kind of an influence in other people's lives. All three women expressed an unwavering faith, not perfect. I said an unwavering but not perfect. We understand that each question failed or stumbled at some point or another, but they continued with God's promises nonetheless. They kept getting back up. That's what they did. Each had a value to God, and each one's worth went beyond this earthly realm. A mother's worth is increased when submitted to the heart of God, to trust Him and allow Him to use you, the person that God has breathed life into, as an instrument of righteousness to bring about His will. And such a mother has an eternal value. And by the way, also an eternal reward that will serve to bring praise to God for eternity and bring others along with her. I want to mention two more people. James. Because James was her son also. By the way, James was not a believer. He was not born again prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, we have Jude, also Mary's son. Jude didn't have any kind of belief in Jesus as the Messiah prior to his resurrection and his ascension. Both James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. But at one point, they became full brothers of Jesus and joint heirs with Him of the treasures that God has for all who come to surrender, who are truly born again in the Son, Jesus Christ. James and Jude are both men who came to be writers of two letters in the New Testament. Both sons of Mary. Both brothers of Jesus. They didn't believe before, but when He ascended, they looked back on everything that He had said, and they believed. I believe a mother's faith had some influence and encouragement in pointing them to Jesus, her unwavering faith, the Savior of the world and their personal Lord. A godly mother's worth is valued beyond this world and into eternity. And I want to leave you with this. If we could all stand. Just think about these words, because this is something that could run the course with all these ladies and so many more in the Bible. And I pray this blessing upon you, these words. We read it in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Okay, and this is to be a prayer at the same time as a reading. It's a prayer over each and every one of you. And then I'm going to lead into a prayer, and then we have some gifts for you. Okay. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her work praise her in the gates. Let's pray. By the way, lay hands on the moms around you. We're going to pray for them. Father, oh, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you will never abandon us. We thank you that it's in your strength that we go forward. And I pray, Lord, a special blessing this morning upon all mothers, and especially these right here that are in our midst. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, just fill them with your Spirit. I pray, Father, that they would keep their eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, that they would gain in their strength in you, that their faith would grow, that their trust in you would be unwavering. That, Lord, you would give them your heart, that you would give them your mind. Lord, that they would also be tenacious and humble in their faith. Lord, that they would continue to have a significant and eternal impact in each and every one of the lives that they touch. Oh, Mother's Worth, as seen through your eyes, Lord, is standing before us in you. And we lift them up to you. We honor them because you are with them. And we ask, Lord, for you to continue to do a mighty work in their lives. May you anoint them. May you adorn them with your wisdom and with your peace and with your love and with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.